The best in paranormal talk radio goes beyond the darkness, challenging everything you think you know about the paranormal. Check out new episodes of Beyond the Darkness every Monday on the Jericho Network, on the Podcast One app, or subscribe at iTunes or PodcastOne.com.
Coming to you live for the final time in 2016, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a man who has made over 400 podcasts in 2016, Rob Cesternino. I don't know if that is impressive or depressive. When I put it that way, it just sounds ultimately more obsessive compulsive than anything that is an accomplishment, but there it is. More podcasts than days in the year, and probably a similar outcome for 2017 as well. So excited to get into this. One of my favorite podcasts to produce over the course of the year, because I get a chance to go back and listen to some of the fun times that we had. Obviously, this is not a complete list of everything, but ultimately what this came down to were the clips that made me laugh on a re-listen. And a lot of them are clips that made me laugh in a first listen. I took requests from the patrons in the Rob Has a Podcast patron Facebook group. I also polled people on Twitter this week, asked them for what were some of their favorite moments. I knew some things that I wanted to include in this list. So ultimately, I hope that we come up with a list that gives you a few laughs here at the end of 2016. So I hope you enjoy this list that we put together. Again, some of these clips have some adult language. A couple of them, you know, things are going off the rails. A few bad words are said along the way. So if you have some young children like I do, who are very curious about any strange or new word that they hear as I'm listening to podcasts, just a heads up on all of that. And of course, thanks so much to everybody who has been using our links throughout the holiday season on Amazon.com. Greatly appreciated that during the holiday season. It's there for you all year long in 2017 too. RobIsAWebsite.com/Amazon. All right, so let me set up clip number one, and I'll come back in between all of these clips and tell you about what you are about to hear. So in the aftermath of Big Brother Canada 4, we had done a couple of postseason interviews with the players from that season. And one of the contestants on that show, Cass, had at one point expressed on the Big Brother live feeds that she felt like for some reason I was going to be able to set her up with a Survivor crush that she had, which was Joey Amazing. So when we got her on the podcast, we were able to potentially set her up with her Survivor crush. So here is a clip from that interview with Big Brother Canada Cass from June 7th, 2016.
Now, one of the other things that, you know, we had seen while you were in the house was there was a point when you were talking to me on the live feeds and people sent me that message.
Right. So
do you remember this?
I do. I'm kind of obsessed with Joe from Survivor.
Yes.
Like, he's just like, if I had a poster, I'd put it like above my bed. I'd be like, come on, Joe. Love you. And yeah. And then Joel in the house was like, oh, maybe Rob can set you up. And I love you. Since I got out of the house, I've watched a bunch of your podcasts and I'm literally obsessed. Stage 5 Cling. And, but I was like, oh my God, Boston Rob. And he was like, so offended, Joel. I was like, okay. He was like, no, not Boston Rob.
Not Boston Rob. Right. The other Rob. Right. But you felt like that I could somehow set you up with Joey Amazing from Survivor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have that kind of pull.
Yeah. Do you think you could maybe, you know, toss a number over?
Well, are you still interested in Joe Anglim?
I could definitely be interested.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Cass, we have a big surprise for you today on the show. We don't normally do this. I was able to use my Survivor connections, and we have Joe Anglim on the phone. Yes. Oh, hold on. We have him on the phone line, and that Joe, are you there?
Hey, Cass, how's it going?
Chuck. So we can hear him, but he's not on the YouTube video. Let me know if you can hear him. He can't see you, but he can hear you. Joe, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How's it going, guys? Rob,
hey,
thanks for
Joe.
Having the cast. Big fan.
Hi.
Okay, Joe Anglum, we reached him. He's in Hawaii this week, he's calling in just for this.
Thank you so much. I'm speechless right now. I'm never speechless. I'm tongue-tied. Joe,
too,
I'm obsessed with you.
I'm a big fan of you, too. Rob told me all about your season and how you were a fan, so I watched some of your season. I just loved your game. You just did such a good job.
Thank you so much. Like, I honestly want to stage five cling you and like follow you around and just have you close to me at all times.
Yeah. Now, Joe, you got to watch Big Brother Canada?
Yeah. Like, well, you know, I got some links and I was able to watch it after you sent me that video, Rob. And I really liked the season. It was great.
Do you want to get together and maybe do some hot yoga sometime?
What? Joga?
Well,
Joga?
Yeah, like, I'd be down, but like, I don't know. Like, the only buzzkill was like when I was watching your season, like, you were with that guy that looked like Drake.
Looked like Drake?
Yeah. You know, that guy that looked like Drake. And then, you know, I was really sad when you got evicted. But, you know, I was really mad when that one girl, like, she took your duck. Like, that, like, really, really, like, that was so mean. I couldn't believe she did that.
Joe.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Joe, this is Cass. This is Cass, Joe.
Yeah, Cass, right? The blonde girl, you know, with the blonde girl.
She said,
best part was like when she said that one girl's ass.
All right, Kat, full confession this is a different Jay. This is Jordan Parhar.
Kat!
You little shit! I was gonna be like, your voice sounds so soft spoken, like it sounds different, but maybe. Jordan, I was just texting you before this. You guys tricked me.
Yeah, well, I was funny. Nervous.
That was so good. I was like, wait, Ramsey? I was like, Ramsey. I was with the guy that looked like you, Joe.
Okay.
Very funny moment. Big assist to Jordan Parhar playing the part of Joey Amazing. We had actually a good cameo from Joey Amazing, which probably could have made this list, where he was talking about his new show at the end of my Survivor Millennials versus Gen X red carpet interviews, if anybody caught that. I hope that the audio did justice to this clip. It's a pretty funny moment. Of course, you could watch the YouTube video of that. That was on a Google Hangout. And I forgot to mention this at the top of the show, but I will have links to all of these clips. If you want to check them out, just go to our robhasawebsite.com, where you can either click on the post, or if you want to go there directly, go to robhasawebsite.com/best of 2016. And I will have links to all the episodes that we mentioned. All right, let's go to our number 9 clip on the list. And this was something which was pretty off topic. And this was something I got a lot of requests from people on Twitter about, this, that back in February, while we were in the, I guess, the early stages of Survivor Ko Rong, we had a lot of requests to have a great friend of the podcast back on, Eric Stein, to talk about a new season of a Netflix show called Fuller House. And so in the span of 24, 48 hours, I forget how long, Eric Stein binge watched the entire series of Fuller House and then came on with me to talk about what he had just saw. And Eric Stein, about an hour and 25 minutes into that conversation, is having a bit of an existential crisis, which would be a harbinger for many of us in the year 2016 of what things were going to be like. So here is Eric Stein talking about Fuller House from February 27th, 2016.
And then, yeah, that's basically it. There's a cow. They do a Bollywood number. That's it. And I'd like to say, since I was keeping, you know, a virtual journal of my thoughts, here it says, I feel legitimately depressed. Will this ever be over? My eyes hurt. I'm having chest pains. Please stop. And this was only an hour. There was only an hour left. And I was fully aware of this.
Yeah.
I was getting a little antsy at this point. It was not good.
Yeah. I feel like you should have been able to sort of ride out the storm at this point.
I do think so.
You didn't get like a Stockholm syndrome type thing at any point?
I opined earlier, just why? That was what I was really wondering. And honestly, this is a legitimate question for you. What is the urgency of all of these things? You know, everyone, just tell me, because I know you have a better binge-watching background than I do. And the fact that you actually made it through so many early in the morning is shocking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do people binge? It comes out. Why do you need to ingest the entire series of Fuller House in the first 24 hours? Why is this a thing? Why must we all talk about, you know, making a murderer incessantly, and then 3 days later, no one's talking about it anymore? Like, what is the urgency of binge watching? What is the whole thing? Because if anything, that's why I didn't want to do this podcast a week from now. Not only would anyone not care anymore, but I almost feel like the podcast in and of itself is a send up of pop culture, not to pat ourselves on the back congratulatory, but like, it's somewhat ironic because it's like, what was the urgency of the podcast? Why did I propose I better watch all of these in the first 24 hours? Why do we need to discuss it right away before anyone else has watched it? Why does anyone feel the need to watch it? I mean, seriously, what is it about binge watching? Like, what's the appeal? Just to be in the know? You know, is it all, you know, just so I can know what everyone's talking about at work on Monday? Like, what does anyone give a crap, honestly?
Yeah, I think it just comes down to that we are gluttons, and it's like, okay, all of the Full House is there right now. We should just watch it all.
Right. So this is the equivalent of like someone who just can't stop eating dessert, right? It's like, it's there, so I'm just going to keep on going.
Right.
But are people actually enjoying this, or is this just an exercise for them?
Exercise.
Like, I feel like I must do this.
Exercise, mandatory. Yeah,
that's what I felt like. I felt like I was on a homework assignment, not like I can't wait to find out what happens next. I was like, you know, it was like when you have summer reading in middle school or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's really fascinating to me. I really wonder what's wrong with our culture and our society. You can't come up with new ideas. And then there's something that people wait months and months and months for. They blow it off in an 8 hour window of time. You know, then some little idiot says, "Damn Daniel," and it goes viral on the internet. It's like, what is happening here? What is,
Eric, you're going too far off.
No, because I'm having a mental breakdown because is this. This could send me on a political chart. What is happening here?
Yeah.
I just don't understand the world we live in which this is considered entertainment that we want to ingest.
So really, Fuller House has caused a whole sort of like meta evaluation of you, of not just your life, but our society.
I went on like the nerdiest, TV geeking out assessment of what it's all come to.
Okay.
My life, television, the podcast. I just don't know anymore, Rob.
Poor Eric Stein. It was another rough year for Eric Stein. First, he had to sit through Fuller House. Then he ended up joining Twitter in the summer and then did not get the response that he was expecting on Twitter. He thought he'd have 50,000 followers with the blink of an eye. That did not turn out to be the case. And then he came on the podcast and people were very hard on him after BBOTT, after they didn't agree with him. And so it was just a rough year all around, like most years for Eric Stein. But Eric Stein, usually a fixture on these best of the year podcasts that we end up doing, and hope to have Eric Stein back with us on the podcast soon. So, all right, let's go ahead and do our number 8 moment, which is going to come to us from our News AF podcast. Of course, that is the really off-topic show where we discuss all of the internet's most interesting news stories every single week with my good friend Tyson Apostle, and Tyson's buddy and my buddy too, Danny Bryson. And this was the News AF clip, which is always the most requested clip that we are asked for. And it's something that we reference quite a bit on the show. And so Danny, Tyson, and I were talking about back in June how T-Mobile was announcing a new incentive where potentially they were going to get new T-Mobile subscribers to be able to receive a share of T-Mobile stock as an incentive. And we talk about what the potential pros and cons might be of getting a T-Mobile contract and getting a share of T-Mobile stock, which coincidentally is the same day as the cast pile. I was really on fire on June 7th, 2016. Here is a clip from News AF.
Danny, would you be interested in getting a T-Mobile phone if it meant you got one share of T-Mobile stock?
Could they? I mean, yes. I'd be more interested if the stock came with a top hat and a monocle as well.
To kind of say a topless girl.
I don't own any stock. No.
Yeah, wow. Maybe.
That's wrong. That's wrong, Danny.
Yeah, that's wrong.
TNA Mobile. Yeah.
That was a good one, Rob.
Thank you.
Nice.
So, no, I'm not really interested. It's such a pain to swap, and who knows what kind of agreements I have with AT&T. They probably would take my firstborn if I left them too soon.
And
go on.
$50 is not that much. Like, there's free phone incentives that are probably greater deals than that.
Yeah. Who knows what kind of contract I have with my current carrier? Mm-hmm. And you don't read them. They're super long. They have tons of conditions. And who knows? They probably have the right to cryogenically freeze my body and reanimate me in the future if they so desire. I wouldn't know. So I don't want to leave and sign up with another carrier just because of the hassle.
Would you be against that, Danny? If T-Mobile wanted to freeze your body and reanimate you at a later date after your death, you're against that? I'd be for it.
What if, though, they reanimate your body to work in some kind of like crystal mine on some planet in another solar system?
It's an experience for sure.
Yeah, it would be an experience. Yep, it would be. But you have to go down in the salt galactic salt mines that are like 500 degrees and mine with these orcs.
The orcs? Oh, no.
I'm just saying, you don't know when you'll be reanimated or to what purpose. Maybe they'll reanimate you because they need sex slaves in some faraway colony. Well, I just don't know.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound that bad.
Now, are you old and have they reanimated you and sort of like returned you to like some sort of younger state? Or did you like die a tragic young death only to awaken in some mine with orcs?
No, it's like Han Solo.
Yeah, in this hypothetical situation, I've been soaking in a fluid that's regenerated all my cells so that I look like I'm lower 20s. And that way, I'm stronger when I'm working in the galactic salt mines.
I gotta say, this doesn't sound like the worst thing ever, Danny.
Really? Yeah. You don't think it, waking up in the far distant future only to work in a salt mine in a planet that has like three times the gravity of Earth and two suns, so the surface temperature is 300 degrees, doesn't sound that bad?
Did you live a full life to an old age on Earth? And then you're sort of restored to youth to go work in the galactic mines.
How can you think that working in the galactic mines makes, who cares if you were suddenly brought back to life at 20
something? It might be better than death.
Yeah, it's over.
Especially if
in the salt mines and you'll be wanting death. You'll be trying to everybody for the surface of the planet to rip off your mask.
What if everybody is at the salt mines now? What if all your kids are also?
If you two are at the salt mines, I am okay with that.
Hold on. Why does this advanced civilization need us mining for salt? I mean, aren't there better ways? Can they have drones to mine for salt? Why do they need us in a reanimated state with orcs mining for salt in some distant planet?
First, salt is the basis for life, all right? If animals need anything, it's salt, and they will always need salt. So I just threw that in there. It's one of those things you need. The other thing is maybe reanimating you is cheaper because the droids are all out fighting galactic wars.
And so when you wake up one day and you say, why am I here? Say, well, actually, did you read that cell phone contract you signed back in 2016? Remember that free share of T-Mobile you got? Well, there was a catch.
Yes. And here's your shovel and your pickaxe. Do not take this mask off. You will die. And then they put you in an elevator and you go like 3 miles down to the core of the planet.
I have to say, yeah, I would not be opposed to seeing the core of a planet.
Yeah. Maybe the orcs are cool.
Maybe. Well, the orcs used to be humans, but they've worked down there for so long and they've slowly become, you know, they've been molded by their environment.
Mm. Wow. I feel like you got a book going on right here.
Yeah. You're like a real George R.R. Martin.
Yeah. I should start writing a great story and then never plan to finish it.
Okay, shots fired there by Danny talking about George R.R. Martin there at the end of that clip. So if you want to hear a full list of the 50 best News AF moments of the year, one of our listeners, Matt Rubio, actually put that all together and I uploaded all the clips to SoundCloud. If you go to 2016.newsaf.news, you could hear a full list of 50 of the craziest News AF stories that we did. Each one is like 6 or 7 minutes long. It's a very fun listen if you want to go through it. We'll also have the link for that in the show notes as well. 2016.newsaf.news. All right, so let's go to another crazy moment from the podcast this year. And this comes on a Big Brother podcast. It was a Sunday night, and we have one of the most polarizing guests there is on the podcast as Adam Pock, you know, once a season, he wants to come on and talk about the season, and we let him come on with us, and he always has, you know, a very unique Adam Pock view on things. And towards the end of the podcast, he ends up starting to talk about how he had managed to get some bacon endorsements from his time on Big Brother 13, which was particularly incredulous to me. And I don't know if it comes through in the translation, but to me, there's so much comedy to Adam's appearance, but I don't think it's intentional. And he really wants to talk about how he has bacon endorsements, and he really wants to stick to his story that he's trying to get out, no matter what is going on. And here is that clip from July 24th, 2016.
I went on Big Brother and I talked about bacon all the time, and I've gotten some bacon endorsements. I don't know if Paul is going for like friendship cottage cheese marketing. You know, he wants to do anything with them, which is why he's overusing the word friendship. I have no idea.
But friendship is a brand of cottage cheese.
Yeah. Okay. So I just lost everybody there.
Tell me about these bacon endorsements that you're doing.
Well, I mean, if you follow me on Twitter at Heavy Metal Teddy, you'll see, I judge a lot of bacon events around the country, a lot here in New York, and I've gotten involved as I'm the head judge of the New York Best Wings Festival, all because...
Oh, is that Wings Festival at the Jersey Shore?
Oh, it smells worse than a porta potty at the Jersey Shore after an all-you-can-eat wings competition. I mean, this thing is disgusting.
As somebody that's been in all-you-can-eat wing competition before, I can agree with that statement. But yeah, no, I mean, that's what, you know, I didn't win $500,000, but the fact that I kept talking about bacon all summer has been very profitable to me in other ways. So,
is that what Paulie is going for? To get a wings endorsement?
No, he's like cottage cheese, friendship cottage cheese. Look it up. Google that. But no, I really hope Paul, you know, cause I think Paul got it early on, like, but what we were saying before about Michelle, how she was cocky, you know, early on, but like she was quiet early on getting cocky. I think people are annoyed by Paul, but they're not telling him they're annoyed. So he thinks that they enjoy it. So he's going to keep doing it. And he keeps going for that laugh and thinking that it's working. And eventually it's going to stop working. He's going to say the wrong thing to the wrong person on the wrong day. And it's going to blow up. And then you're going to see week one and two, Paul come back.
All right. Let's do one more question. Jared says, if Devon and Frank are going after each other, why not keep them both and target Victor? Alex, Can you talk and answer this question?
Yeah, it you know, it makes sense on paper, but that's the thing, right? Is that this game isn't played on paper. This is the kind of game where emotions get involved. And Rob,
I'm sorry. I'm crying. I was dying. I don't think I've ever cracked up that much on a podcast, and I just could not stop laughing at Adam wanting to just keep talking about his bacon endorsement and everything that was going on with he gets like really incredulous with me at one point where he's like, "No, Rob, cottage cheese, friendship, cottage cheese." And I just could not, between the Pauly Calafiore clip about the wings and how he was in a wing eating contest and the bacon endorsements and Adam going back to the cottage cheese, it was too much for me to handle. So that was, again, one of these clips that there is video of, and I hope that the audio was doing it justice, where I just could not go on any further. Okay, so that was clip number 7. Let's set up clip number 6, which actually comes to us from one of the shows we did on the road this year, where Jason Somerville, the poker player extraordinaire, runitup.com is where he does all of his stuff, and he's a great friend of the podcast. He invited Stephen Fishback, Boston Rob, Tyson, Josh Wiggler, and we were out there for a poker event, Run It Up Reno, and we did a Survivor podcast where we had Anna Kate was there. Also, we took Q&A from the fans, and this was a question that was asked to us at that event by another one of our longtime listeners. Matthew Holtzclaw was there, and he asked a question about what it's like to play with people who are playing a character out there on the island, and we end up talking about Coach for a bit. So here is a highly requested clip that comes from a show from May 27th, 2016. All right, let's take another question. Okay, it's Matt.
Hi, it's Matt. But on that topic you guys just had, you've all played with someone who easily could have been playing a persona that wasn't themselves. Were you ever concerned that that was what was going on with Philip or Matt or
Coach? You're like,
well, you can see right through that with Coach and Philip and Russell. You knew, like the joke was on them. They thought they were fooling you, but they weren't fooling anyone.
Coach is going to be here tomorrow. Are you guys excited? All three of the Coach is coming here tomorrow. He wasn't able to make it for the show. He did let us know that if we wanted to, we could call him on the show in front of everybody. I said that I think we were going to be fine. Yeah, I think we were fine. What's that?
I mean, with Coach, it was like some of it was obviously a lie. Like the story, like the thing he took down the Amazon, right? You know, he went.
How dare you, Steven? That happened. Right.
The kayak.
You could write a book about
I'm
it.
I'm sure he like. You know, he probably has kayaked somewhere and he's like seen the Amazon on a map. So there's probably, it partially adds up. But then, like, then some of it, he'd be like, and I have a brain tumor and I'm going to die.
What?
And he'd be like, wait, what? Is that real? Like, I can't, like.
Is that true?
Yeah, he said he had a brain tumor.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But like, you were like, well, you don't want to like disbelieve something like that, right? Like, you're like, oh, I have sympathy for you. I mean,
well, clearly he is brain damaged. Oh. I mean, we can all agree on that.
But, yeah. Nobody say that to Coach tomorrow. Don't tell them that Rob said that. Rob Mariano.
Tyson, that was not me. Stop that. That's rotten.
I did the Boston Rob impression. Yeah. That's,
hey, that, what are you doing? Yeah. I heard that shit. Doesn't sound anything like me. Hey, Rob Fessinito.
You're not going to do it?
What do you want me to say?
I want you to do a Boston Rob impression in the mic.
Hey, you take care of me, I'll take care of you.
Forget about it.
Yeah.
Idiot. He's an idiot. I told him 5 times we're going to do the podcast at 6. Walked in at 6:10.
that's me doing you?
Exactly, yeah?
Okay.
An Inception type.
Yeah, people are so confused.
Yeah, people love that when somebody is getting annoyed or doesn't like when I do an impression of them, and that people telling me that my impressions of them suck. I mean, that just a spoiler that Ken asking me to do an impression of him is not on the list. It easily could have been, but you guys always love that, seeing me get my chops busted about how bad my impressions are by the people I do impressions of. Okay, it's always a surefire hit. You know what else is a surefire hit? When you stock your pantry this year with Nature Box, great tasting, healthier snacks from Nature Box. Because what do you want to do when you want a snack? You want to get some junk food. So the best way to fight that is to replace it with great tasting Nature Box, because Nature Box has snacks that taste great and are better for you, created with high quality ingredients that are free from the artificial colors, flavors, or sweetener, so you can feel great about snacking. Don't be like Adam Pock snacking on bacon all the time. Sure, maybe you get some endorsements along the way if you talk about bacon enough, but that's not going to keep you looking great in 2017. My personal favorites, love the dark cocoa nom noms, love the pistachio power clusters, even better than the trust clusters. Nature Box, they just made their service even better. Now you can order as much as you want, as often as you want, without that minimum purchase required. You can cancel anytime. Just go to naturebox.com, check out their whole snack catalog, over 100 snacks to choose from, and they're constantly adding delicious new snacks. Just choose the ones you want. They deliver on them right to your door. And with Nature Box, you'll never get bored with new snacks every month, inspired by real customer feedback. And if you don't like it, they'll replace it for free. So right now, save even more. Nature Box is offering listeners of the podcast 50% off their first order when you go to naturebox.com/RHAP. That's naturebox.com/RHAP. 50% off your first order. naturebox.com/RHAP. And we're 50% done with this list. And now we have our number five moment from the year. And this actually comes from a show that we did on our Patreon, 5 for 5. And I was sort of on the fence about whether I should do a moment that wasn't from Rob Has a Podcast, but I felt like that this was something that, if you are not a patron, it's a clip that you haven't heard before. And I thought it would be fun to sort of give you a little peek behind the curtain about what goes on the Patreon 5 for 5 show that we do. And so what the Patreon 5 for 5 show is, that it is one of two types of patron only podcasts that I do. I do a long form patron cast with the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast that once a month people call in, and those go on for, you know, 2 or 3 hours, where I take phone calls from the patrons and they ask me all sorts of questions. And then on the other weeks, I do that like on the last Tuesday of the month, and the other weeks out of the year, I do a show called the Patron 5 for 5. Basically, it's, you know, five questions if you're a $5 patron or higher. I do that show with Nicole, who longtime listeners will remember that she used to, my wife, be on all the podcasts with me. But this show is about half an hour or so. It's an easy spot for her to be able to come up here and record with me after the kids go to bed. And so this was from a show that we did from September 29th of this year. And this is a story which involves Nicole's concerns that I may have been unfaithful to her based on a garment of clothes that she found while doing the laundry. So this is a clip from the Patreon 5 for 5, September 29th, 2016.
But in all seriousness, Bobby, that I'm glad we were able to do the show tonight, because between the last Patreon 5 for 5 and this one, I believe there was an issue that came up between Nicole and I, where Nicole had some issues with me, and she suspected some infidelity in the relationship.
Oh, we're gonna go here, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you not want me to talk about this?
I have a few things. I don't know which one you're going with.
Okay, well, yeah, this was a rough week. This was a rough week for the Rob That Sucks, because the Rob That Sucks really sucked in Nicole's mind.
Yes.
And that, where do you want to start with the
underwear
laundry gate? Yes.
Yes. So I was being very nice one day, mm-hmm. and I did Rob's laundry. Mm-hmm. And as I'm folding his clothes, I got his boxers, his socks, and I matched his socks up perfectly.
Okay. Thank you.
Like, no, I don't put like an old black sock with a new black sock.
But for the most part, you don't do. I do my own laundry.
For the most part, but I was being nice. And
yes,
my stuff
was in the dryer and you were folding it.
And I was folding it. And I make sure I do a really good job with your laundry because I know you're a real stickler with your socks.
Well, I mean, I'd like to have them matching.
They cannot be like, you know how one sock might be a smidgen smaller? Like, that is not allowed here.
I mean, I'd like to have two matching socks. Okay, I don't think that makes me a crazy person.
No, but you really complain about it.
Okay. Well, you are losing you had an interesting story.
Well, I'm just
and
saying.
And you're losing it. You've gone down this sock right turn and nobody cares.
I'm just saying that I was being meticulous with your laundry, trying to do a really great job. And as mm-hmm. I'm folding mm-hmm. the clothes, I find a black thong. Oh, okay. This is interesting.
Yes. Now that I think that you're being loose with the type of underwear.
It was a Victoria's Secret black thong, mm-hmm. size extra small.
Okay. All right. So, and your point is,
where did it come from?
I don't know.
And do you want to know who we blamed it on? Do you want to
know? But this is the
know?
Part of the story that I'm uncomfortable with.
He blamed it on his mother.
That part tickled you?
It is so dumb.
I'm so dumb?
It is. This story is so dumb.
Okay. Look, I did not have anybody's underwear thrown about in my room. And if so, somebody's trying to frame me.
Yes, your mom.
No, well, I don't think she's trying to frame me. Mm-hmm. Look, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened with the laundry, that there were a bunch of, when we have house guests, sometimes people will stay in the, not in the studio, but in the office where I have a couch up there.
Yes.
So I don't know what happened. I don't know whose underwear they are.
Yes.
But.
Well, tomorrow while we're FaceTiming your mom for Dominic's birthday, I'm going to say, ask her. What is this?
Oh, but what are you going to bring them out?
I'm going to show them.
Why don't you just ask her?
I'm going to say, does this look familiar to you? Because I want everybody to feel uncomfortable.
Okay. Well, you've done that. You've done that. Yes. Okay. So, all right. And Nicole still doesn't believe me.
Where did it come from?
Do you really feel like that I have been unfaithful?
Well, they weren't even nice thongs. Like, come on.
Okay.
If this woman really cared about you, she would have worn nicer thongs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then I don't know what. This is such a crazy story. Yes, Nicole. Okay. Anything else you want to talk about or no?
No. Do you?
Of the many accusations you've thrown at me this week, though.
Oh, okay.
Which I'm innocent of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm skipping ahead now to later on in that same episode of the Patron 5 for 5, because another revelation comes out in terms of the case of the mysterious women's underwear found in my laundry.
The underwear comes home from.
Yes, all right. You're not going to let this underwear stuff go.
How can I?
In your heart of hearts, do you believe my innocence? Why would I talk about it on a podcast if I was hiding this huge scandal?
Can I tell you something?
What?
They're mine.
What?
They're mine.
So this whole time when you were getting mad at me?
No. In the beginning, I didn't know who they were.
And then you realize that and you never apologized to me this whole time that you were so mean to me.
I was not mean to you.
And you were like, tell me right now.
Well, I figured, this is a good time to really test it. Is there something?
So it was the whole time. What point did you know?
Probably like the other day when I saw him again. I said, wait a second, I think those might be mine.
So you...
And I was like, oh, oopsie.
And you didn't say anything.
Because we didn't talk about it again.
So you never wanted just to clear up or anything?
I forgot about it.
Because you were very accusatory.
Because at the time, I didn't realize they were mine.
Mm-hmm. And why didn't you tell when I when we told this story in the podcast?
Because I was on the spot. Now how was I going to admit that it was mine?
What changed?
I felt guilty. Okay,
you felt guilty to me.
Yes.
Oh wow. All right. Well, this is something new.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Nicole.
And I thought it was really funny that I was going to pretend to ask your mom.
Okay. All right. Nicole. Now, the part where you said that and they were extra small really makes it seem like you are just like a some sort of like a bragger. It seemed like you had to throw that detail into the story.
I know.
And then reveal later on that they're yours.
No, I wish that the extra small still fit me, but my... All right.
Mom of two kids. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So that was the clip from the patron 5 for 5. I still don't even understand exactly at what point Nicole realized that the underwear she was accusing me of having from another woman that she realized. I don't know if she realized it as we were doing the show or if it was sometime before the show. The whole thing still doesn't make any sense to me, but that is just a little taste of what it's like of me talking to Nicole. And so what I did, if you want to hear that whole conversation, is I made that particular episode of the Patreon 5 for 5, which people say is probably the best because it goes into some of the other concerns that Nicole had that particular week, which a lot of people found funny. If you want to hear that whole show, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/underwear and you could hear that whole episode of the Patreon 5 for 5 for free. Okay, so let's go to our number 4 clip, which actually comes to us from the world of Big Brother Over the Top. And Big Brother Over the Top was the aptly named web-only version of Big Brother, which took place this fall. And there were many things that were over the top, which included the narration of the segments in the Daily Update. And on October 14th, 2016, I begin to describe to the live feed correspondents how I think that maybe Mr. Announcer Man was perhaps a bit too over the top.
So Monty's Pythons is now over without Monty, and we have a new alliance. And now, is Scott with the Ball Smashers or not?
He's not a ball smasher himself, but like Monty, he is attached to them.
Yes. Well, one of the things I really do love about BBOTT is that Mr. Announcer voiceover guy is really just letting his hair down. This was from the Thursday night recap of what was going on in the house as Scott joined the Ball Smashers. Here comes Scott.
Later, they were joined by their Virgin King.
What? Why are we referring to Scott as the Virgin King of the Ball Smashers, Alex?
All hail the Virgin King. Here he comes. That's a thing. Yeah. I got nothing, Rob.
Later, they were joined by their Virgin King.
The Virgin King? Wow. Yeah, move over, all other Big Brother virgins.
Right. I mean, I'm sorry, Scott, but I feel like Jason is still the best Big Brother virgin.
Yeah. Well, no, Scott is the Virgin King. Now, is he the Virgin King of only the Ball Smashers or is he the Virgin King of all virgins?
I mean, I think Virgin King implies that he's the king of all virgins, right? Like, otherwise, no, they call him the Ball Smasher King. No.
Yes.
Someday all of this will be yours.
Yeah, someday all of this abstinence will be yours.
Yeah. We need someone who's like big, like Shane or Justin in the house to hold him up and, you know, anoint him with oils or something.
Yes.
Later, they were joined by their Virgin King.
Yeah, I just can't wait to be the Virgin King, Scott. You know who's not the Virgin King is Shane.
No, might be the king, but he's certainly not the first thing.
Yeah, well,
okay,
that's right.
Maybe we figured it out. Maybe Shane was the Virgin King, and then it got passed on to Scott a couple nights ago.
I don't know.
You're no longer fit to wear the crown.
Yeah. The announcer guy, he was right on top of this one as well. This is him calling. He's like Vin Scully calling the Shane and Danielle under the sheets.
Shane and Danielle went over the top under the cover.
Oh, yeah. set in the mood.
Yeah. Boy, the announcer guy, I think, is way too into Shane and Danielle. This is on the heels of last week of Shane gave Danielle the ride of her life.
He was really trying to make it happen. It's like, if I say it, it'll happen, right?
Really rubbing it in the nose of Scott.
Later, they were joined by their virgin king.
No, not Shane and Danielle. That is not true.
It's really wild how much they think the hot and heavy Shane and Danielle stuff is like a selling point of the show. Like this is an online show. But they know people can just click over to porn, right?
It's not that big. It's the thumbnail of a lot of stuff also. Like yeah. when the other day when it was the Shane gave Danielle the lap dance, that was the thumbnail of the day recap of the Shane giving Danielle the ride of her life. Yeah.
Shane and Danielle went over the top, under the covers.
Yeah, look, you know, anyone can watch porn at any time, but you can't watch two people from Big Brother, you know, doing some stuff under the sheets. Like those are people, you know, that's some classy stuff right there. Yeah. That's advertisable.
Yeah. Boy, it's getting so hot over on BBOTT. Even Ken Bone is checking it out now at this point, Alex. He's topical. Posting in the Big Brother subreddit on this.
They're so beautiful. Yeah.
I'm not sure yet what I'm watching, but I like what I'm seeing.
He's into it.
And that Virgin King clip ended up taking on a whole life of its own when we had our live know-it-alls in the fall, and Scott was on the brink of being voted out, and he got to stay in the house. Here was a clip from a bunch of our RHAP listeners at the after party for Survivor Know-It-Alls, cheering for him. So that really was a very fun moment from over the course of the year. All right, top three now from 2016. And this is another clip where I kind of lose it. This goes back to an episode of The Wiggle Room back towards the end of Survivor Ko-Rong when Josh Wiggler was outlining the case for each member of the final four. Only four people headed into that finale where it was going to be Sydney, Ty, Michelle, or Aubrey. And Josh was making the case and setting up one of his exclusive songs for why Ty could be the winner of Survivor Ko-Rong. And you'll see why this is one of my favorite moments of the year from The Wiggle Room, May 15th, 2016.
And what about the final member of our final four?
All right, final member of our final four should not be a surprise since there is really only one person left. This was actually written. Did you know that that Monica Padilla and Edgardo Rivera had formed a band together?
No.
Doesn't that seem random?
That is really random. I didn't even know that Monica was a musician.
Yeah, she is a musician. She does some singing. Edgardo plays guitar. It's just like a really very chill acoustic rock duo. I think they're going places. Here's their prediction for who's going to win the season.
Hello, Marcus, my old friend. I've come to talk to you again. You are a chicken that we're not eating. Making friends while I was out playing. And the chicken that's been hanging with the brains still remains. He's making sure that I win.
All right. That's from Simonica at Garfunkel.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're also giving a lot of credit to Mark the Chicken for Ty's success in the game.
What's the name again of the band?
Simonica at Garfunkel. Simonica at Garfunkel. How is that for a reach? That's the reach.
Simonica and Garfunkel.
Yeah, Simonica and Garfunkel. It's pretty good, right? They're really good. I think they're going places.
Yeah.
Really, there's no Survivor Simons, not a single
one. Sounds like a bunch of malarkey to me.
Thanks, Michelle. That's why they didn't pick you.
Okay.
Unreal. Unreal. All right. So Simonica at Garfunkel is picking Ty to win. That's the sound of Ty wins.
Sorry. I'm dead. I'm dead.
Yeah, Josh had so many great songs. You could do a whole best of all the Josh Wiggler songs and moments from the year. But that was my personal favorite, the Simonica Edgardo Funkle. So funny. So great job again by the amazing Josh Wiggler. We're going to have a Rogue One podcast coming to postshowrecaps.com. So be on the lookout for that as well. On postshowrecaps.com, our scripted TV arm of RHAP. All right, so we're down to only two clips left from the year, and I'm glad that we were able to get some know-it-alls in the mix here, because we did a few different live know-it-alls shows during the year, and we actually did two during Steven's return to the know-it-alls during Survivor Korong, and the first of those shows was in Los Angeles at the Hollywood Improv during the second episode of Survivor Korong. And so Steven and I had just been talking about the episode, and we had some West Coast survivors in attendance, and one of them comes up and just knocks it out of the park, pun intended. And this is from February 24th, 2016, when we introduce the great Jonathan Penner.
Do you want to talk to some of the people that are here?
Yeah.
We got questions from you guys. Okay. We have a lot of visitors here. We have somebody that came in midway through the show, right. But I do want to talk to him. Can we get Penner up here?
Thank you so much. That's incredible.
Yeah. Wow. Beautiful. Yeah. How you doing?
Great. Good evening. Is this on?
Yeah. Yeah. Look at you.
Hi.
Yeah. So we have three tribes, something that you know about.
Yeah.
We have a professional athlete out there, something that you know about. What has been your reaction to Scott Pollard in terms of comparing him to Jeff Kent?
Well, he looks like Lurch to me. I can't ever look at him and not think that. Or, you know, I didn't know Jeff Kent was an athlete. No, that's the craziest thing, right? He was a rancher and a guy who had motorcycle shops. That's what I knew. And when we got off the airplane, he, of course, traveled first class. And my wife is waiting for me, and she said, "Were you on the flight with Jeff Kent?" How the fuck do you know Jeff Kent? You know, and she's like, "It's Jeff Kent. You saw him hit a home run at Dodger Stadium. You played with Jeff Kent?" And I'm like,
"Was Jeff the motorcycle guy? What are you talking about?"
Yeah, so I didn't know him as an athlete, except that one time there was one challenge. I'm sorry, I got my hands full. There was one challenge where we had to, like, swing balls or something, you know?
Yeah.
He said, I can do that. And I said, "So you can, like, throw balls?" He's like, "I can throw balls." Yeah.
So you never knew the entire time you were out there that he was an athlete?
No. Wow. I had no clue. And I'd seen him at Dodger Stadium. I'm sorry.
Yeah. What do you need help with? This is like, a challenge.
Like a challenge. Okay.
Where's Jeff Kent?
Yeah. Fuck Jeff Kent.
Wow.
Jeff Kent wouldn't pee on your head if you were on fire, man. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
No, that's the truth, man. He had no patience for us. He was like, "Fuck the Philippines." He literally, "Fuck the Philippines. This place sucks. There's nothing good about this place." I'm like, "Dude, you're playing Survivor, man. This is Survivor. It sucks."
It does suck,
yeah, though. All the time. It sucks.
What? The great Jonathan Penner, you know, you could probably pull another couple of clips from my last podcast that I did with him a couple of weeks ago, but he just came up and killed it at that live show. I mean, he was really the MVP, and he was electric that night there in person, and the crowd didn't know he was there. He gets that huge ovation, and he just comes up to the stage because the crowd sort of like is like looking around during the show, but he came in the middle and people didn't know he was there, and I didn't announce that he was coming, and it was just one of the really great moments that we had, and he was so funny when he came up on the stage, really killing Jeff Kent. Though I don't know what had recently happened, it seemed like that he seemed more angry with Jeff Kent than even from when they played. Of course, 2017 is going to be a big year for Penner, as his movie The Bye Bye Man that he wrote and produced is going to be coming out in theaters, I believe, January 13th is when that comes out. So if you're a horror fan or a Penner fan, be sure to check that out at your local theater coming up in just a couple of weeks. All right, so here we are, down to our number one clip. And this clip really killed me at the time that we were doing it. It was very highly requested. It's also the most recent clip that you've heard on the podcast. So at the beginning of this month, December 2nd, 2016, Mike Bloom joined me for the Survivor voicemails. And Mike Bloom is another fixture on these end of year lists. And we got into talking about a secret scene that Mike Bloom had watched about Ken working on preparing dinner for the tribe, which led to a lot of talk about a new breakout character in Survivor lore. Here is Mike Bloom and I talking about the saga of Sir Squiddington.
Did you see the secret scene this week of Ken's cooking segment?
No, I did not.
So it's called like My Life Is Fine, which I guess is him channeling his own form of Jeff Probst. And he starts out his confessional by saying, tonight we have nine. And we're like, great, this is going to be a strategy confessional. He says, we have nine types of fish. And he goes in to talk about all the fish that he has, about the process of making pizza rice, which is rice that tastes like pizza. And then he uses it to funnel out a message about global hunger and worldwide starvation.
Okay, well, let me play a clip from this, Mike, and then let's see if we can all get on the same page.
Tonight we've got nine various different fish, a couple angel fish, a few damsel fish, two stripers, and the catch of the day, squid.
A squid.
Sir Squiddington gave his life so we could have dinner this evening. We're going to be doing my specialty with the pizza rice, which is just a mix of artichoke heart, sun-dried tomato, a little bit of roasted red bell pepper.
Boy, that made the cut? That made the cut for the secret scene?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of confessionals about people talking about their family, so I thought, okay, here's Ken. And again, it's the whole bait and switch, pun unintended there, about him saying, all right, we got nine people tonight. I'm like, oh, okay, we're going to get down to the nitty gritty. But then he goes on to talk about all the fish that he caught. I mean, if Jay is Peruvian Ozzy, then Ken is like Food Network Ozzy.
Boy, I would have much rather have heard Ken be upset about the votes coming his way. Here was him reacting to that news from Will in the episode.
Apparently, Zeke and his group are voting for me. And I'm like, why?
Yeah, why? Why are they voting for me?
It's not like it's a game where people vote each other out or anything.
Yeah. Well, I think my favorite part of that clip, and it just kept making me laugh when I was thinking about it, is the beginning part of it. Because I feel like that's the perfect Ken word is
apparently.
It's like, apparently.
Yeah, which is like one of the most like passive aggressive words you can use, in my opinion. Like, no one ever uses it not sarcastically. Like, oh, apparently this happened and I didn't even know about it.
Yeah, he's not saying apparently we have nine different types of fish to eat tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's only used to say, like, I'm unhappy with this situation. Like, oh, apparently. People think I might win the game of Survivor. Therefore, I should be voted out for my morals.
Apparently, Squid Squiddington is going to have a long life.
Is that what he named the squid? Squid Squiddington?
That's what he said.
Yes, I was going to say, Ken, you have such an appreciation for language. You could branch out a little more than Squid Squiddington.
Yeah.
Sir Squiddington gave his life.
Sir Squiddington.
Oh, sorry. No, sorry. he was knighted. He was knighted by the Royal Duke of Kent.
Apparently, Sir Squiddington was recognized by the Queen.
For your duty of supplying us with ink, I knight you a knight of Fiji. I don't know, my Ken is much worse than yours. I sound like Ken from like 15 years ago, like Ken McPenny.
Apparently, King Neptune thought that Sir Squiddington was worthy of the royal honor.
I would actually like to see just an entire narrative of Ken's interactions with the fish. Because again, like you see in that scene, he goes into such copious detail, and he was so excited, if we remember back in the pre-merge, about, you know, getting the harpoon so he could purge the ocean of octopi. Too much to Jeb Debbie's chagrin. Like, I feel like he's definitely jockeying for like an under the radar Aquarian survivor competitor, and we didn't even realize it this entire time.
Yeah.
Okay. So Sir Squiddington gets his first appearance there, and then we will talk about Sir Squiddington continually throughout the podcast. Here is another point later on in that same show where Sir Squiddington comes back up.
Hey, Rob and Mike Bloom. This is Andrew calling from California. My question is, if you can pick one survivor to be on Arnold Schwarzenegger's version of The Celebrity Apprentice, who would you choose and why? Looking forward to hearing what you guys say and looking forward to your guys' coverage next year of Celebrity Apprentice. Thanks, guys.
How about this, Mike? What survivor? Let's start with what millennials versus Gen X survivor should be on the all new Arnold Schwarzenegger Apprentice?
Well, I have to say, Ken, because you know there's going to be a challenge where they say, you're going to have to come up with a child's mascot. He goes, got a great idea. His name is Sir Squiddington. He teaches children about genitalia, and he squirts ink.
And that it's very important that a children's doll has genitalia, because if a kid's name is Sir Squiddington, then they're going to grow up and get teased. And the last thing they want to be is some plastic doll with no genitals.
Now there's going to, I just imagine like these future generations of kids being named Sir Squiddington and being made fun of because the Sir Squiddington doll didn't have genitalia. Time is a flat circle, Rob. History just keeps repeating itself.
I can't find my penis in the morning.
Oh, Stig Hansen.
Okay, so yeah, so a throwback to Celebrity Apprentice 2015 and a little glimpse of the ghost of RHAP future as Mike Bloom and I, along with Megan Z, will be podcasting about the Celebrity Apprentice 2017, the new Celebrity Apprentice, as they're calling it, with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Those podcasts are coming. The premiere of the new Celebrity Apprentice is on January 2nd, Monday night, January 2nd on NBC. And hopefully we'll have a podcast for you recapping the premiere of the new Celebrity Apprentice coming up next week on Tuesday. So that's going to do it for our countdown of top 10 clips. But in true patron 5 for 5 fashion, I've got one bonus clip. And this one is kind of racy. So if you were sort of like teetering on the fence of if this is too much for you, you may want to check out here. But this is certainly one of the racier clips of the year, but definitely one of the funniest. And this came from another show that also went completely off the rails. And so that there were a couple of episodes during the Big Brother season, which, much like this show, were clip shows looking back. And it's very appropriate that we end this clip show with a recap we did of a clip show from during the year. And it was on a Friday night. It was like a bonus episode. We didn't really know exactly what was going to happen. There was a Ziggy Marley concert on Big Brother. And then there was a lot of them sitting around talking about things that already had happened throughout the first half of the Big Brother season. And it was set up to look like a carnival. And one of the things during the carnival was a kissing booth that was set up, which led to this discussion with the great Matt Hoffman from Big Brother 12. This is a clip from the Big Brother 18 Special Friday Recap Podcast. This is from August 19th, 2016. And let's take you back to myself, Matt Hoffman, and Taryn Armstrong from August 19th, 2016.
Well, and things then took a turn for the worse somehow when we got to the kissing booth and we set up the James and Natalie kiss here, Matt, and really, really throwing James a bone here by building this kissing booth here in the backyard.
Yeah, they totally set him up. And then Nicole and Corey, and she's all like, no, I don't want to kiss you. And Corey's trying to get his kiss. But I'm confused because she's giving him hand jobs, right? So why don't they set up a hand job booth? Would Natalie be like, no, and then Nicole be like, oh, okay, hand job. Let's do it. I just don't. Where's the barometer of morals in this that I'm missing? Anyway, I don't know. What did we do tonight?
All right. Oh my god, you guys.
I can kiss you.
Oh my god.
Yeah, all right.
doesn't like kissing in public, man.
Will not kiss in public. And he didn't throw comfort over the booth.
Yeah, I think that's what we need.
Certainly one of the most OTT clips from the year, but it was just a show where it was like, are we really doing this? I think Matt even said that during the clip. He's like, are we really doing this? Are we really doing a podcast about a clip show from Big Brother? And yes, we were. And ultimately, that clip from the clip show ends up being here at the end of this 2016 clip show. Hope you guys enjoyed this. I'll also post the links to a couple of these other clip shows that we've done in the past on robisawebsite.com in the show notes for this episode. We have a best of 2015 clip show. I think I got lazy in 2013 and 2014. Actually, in 2014, we had just done the clips from the 1000 podcast. So I don't think I did another clip show so close to the end of the year, but there's also a best of 2012 and a best of 2011. So I'll have the links to all those shows in the show notes on the website. Thanks so much for listening to this. It's been such a fun year. You know, I do have to pinch myself from time to time that this is what I do for a living. I could not do it without the support of all of the patrons of Rob as a Podcast. So thank you all so much for your support in particular. Of course, I'm very much looking forward to everything we have coming up in 2017. We got a lot of fun stuff for the Survivor preseason. Of course, the Celebrity Apprentice. We'll talk about Hunted coming up on CBS, which is going to be a new show, which is going to be fun to talk about whether the show is good or not. So I hope you guys are looking forward to RHAP in 2017 as much as I am. Hope everybody has a very great and safe new year over the weekend. I'm very much looking forward to coming back and getting into the Celebrity Apprentice, the new Celebrity Apprentice coming up next week. Would love to hear your thoughts in the comments about anything we may have missed, or if you have any links to any of the interviews that we did over the year that you think are particularly good that people should check out, please do post them in the comments of robiswebsite.com. And thanks again for making 2016 a great year, at least on Rob as a Podcast. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Got hit by a hurricane here in Fiji. Jeff Probst says that he's ordained. They'll get married. Is Vicky the lady to have the first survivor baby? Pigtails. Every day they're making out their pigtails. Getting nasty in the cuddle shack, their pigtails.
You don't have to touch this. You don't have to touch this.
This is Idol was so hard. And where was hidden? Oh my lord. Thank you, Will, for forcing me. Cause when I whipped it out, I felt so free. Feels good to be able to wiggle around. Cause where it was before really made me frown. I know disinfectant's a must. Cause Jeff is an idol you don't have to touch.
Sydney Storm and Alicia Holden. Let's join forces with Just Kidding. Every bug's got to make a living.
BS. Don't talk, bitch. Don't
Don't be fooled by the stool that I'm on. I'm still Jenny from the Brawn. Used to be sitting and now I'm standing up. No matter how you, but I know where it came from. Don't be fooled by the bug in my ear. I'm still Jenny standing here. Used to have no problems, now I have a lot. No matter how you, but I know where it came from.
Don't be
on top of this Brawn tribe of six to on the bottom, thanks to this half a ditz. My ear's bleeding as the bug rolls in. It's real, I thought I told you. My ear was home to a bug. That's nasty. Nothing has changed, please believe me. When I'm standing on my seat, my friend Joan is making sushi with prawns. I'm still Jenny from the Brawn. Used to have a good thing, now I'm lost for shot. No matter how you vote, I know where I came from. Well, that's one way for things to go wrong. I'm still Jenny from the Brawn. Used to be sitting and now I'm standing up. No matter how you vote, I know where I came from.
Don't bitch.